Blog Talk Radio.
Perpetual sultry voice stage.
That is fine by us.
Ever since we came from RTX, I'm just like in this low register.
Is anybody going to be upset about that? I don't think so.
I don't know. I hope not, because I can't get up on the high peppy register. It won't stay. Hello.
She sounds just like that.
Remember when we did Guns of Icarus?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Lieberman said. So you have the Ginger has the cutie, I'm such a sweet innocent girl voice, and you have the sultry rare voice. I'm like, thanks. I think.
So cute and innocent as I stab you.
Yes. What is with the stabbing?
But they like it. They like it when I do it in the fist.
Oh my god.
In the fist.
You know what? I have created a monster, and I love her.
I know.
You are our favorite. Cute, pink, adorable monster.
I know, it was hilarious. I was playing a game with some friends yesterday. We got to playing, oh crap, what was it? Hold on. I've got it on my desktop. Oh crap. Microvolt. We were playing Microvolt.
Oh wow.
I played yesterday.
Wow.
So much fun. They were laughing. They thought it was hilarious, me cracking up and being all cutesy as I kill them. And them calling me horrible names, and I'm just dying laughing. I think it's the most awesome thing ever. How's that food taste?
Oh, my God.
I mean, because it doesn't help that the girl cartoon that you're playing does this whole little cutesy, bouncy thing anyways and says little cutesy stuff. And then, yeah, I'm sounding just like her as I'm doing the whole cutesy thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you are so adorable, Ginger.
Yeah. It was awesome.
By the way, I just quoted you on Twitter. You know, it's Quotable Thursday. It's also Ginger Thursday on Google Plus. Did you know that?
Ginger Thursday! No, but I do know that Tuesday was Go Brawless Day. National Go Brawless Day.
Amazing. I was brawless the whole day Tuesday. Okay. I didn't even know.
I know.
I didn't even know. Always in vogue.
Your laziness, but...
They just don't know. Let me reach way back into the 70s. You people don't know. The over-the-shoulder boulder holders are not fun to wear all the time.
No. Underwires? Because I got boobs. I have to have the underwire.
Hey, we all have to have the underwire, and it is not fun.
No, it hurts. It hurts.
You know what? I want somebody to make me a bra with the whole LED light so you can see them through my shirt. That's what I need. The underwire is made out of LED lights. That would be hot.
Oh, that would be awesome. I know, like, Victoria's Secret does the whole the bustier-type bras without the underwire.
That's great. I need mine to glow.
No, they still have a wire in it. Don't let them lie to you.
They lie.
Those, and then the damn thing popped out, and I was like, that's a wire!
See, y'all made Ginger go all up in the high register. All right, we better get you some news. People are like, we did not come here to hear about your bras, people. We came to hear some news.
Didn't? Oh, my bad.
Ginger, you have to let me go first, because this is the news that is burning up the internet. If I can, well, not burning bras, but burning up the internet, people. Okay, so there is a new console that is on the horizon, a brand new console. It is not from our major three. It's not Nintendo, Sony, or Microsoft. It is called Ouya.
I saw that. They've actually got a Kickstarter fund.
Yes.
For it. Yes.
They're calling it the freight train that has plowed into the console games business, forever changing the console games landscape and unleashing user democracy and elevating Kickstarter to the new kingmaker of the games business.
Wow.
Yes, people, it is Ouya. Of course, this is created by one Mr. Yves Behar. It's Ouya is an Android-powered game console which has at current raised, and this beats Double Fine, $4 million in 48 hours.
That is amazing.
Hot. hot, hot, hot.
Wow.
They're saying this announcement is supposed to go down in history as something akin to the launch of the iPhone 5 years ago. The amazing outpouring of 25,000 pre-orders already of the console in 24 hours shows that gamers want the TV experience to be democratized, if I said that properly. Our lovely peoples over at GI.biz spoke with Brian Fargo of In Exile, who raised $900,000 for Wasteland 2 on Kickstarter back in March, and he says he believes customers are frustrated with traditional publishers and are demanding more creative products instead of the endless sequels released by the leaders. I cannot agree more. Oh, we're going to have so much fun talking about this later. Make sure you're listening tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Wow.
It said in 48 hours, of course, the console business has been turned on its head, or ear, we like to say here, by a company, it's actually a $100 open console, $100, people, $100. Let me stress that to you again, $100. It's open console, and their mission is to make games less expensive and free to play. It is the Apple 1994 commercial equivalent to the games business. Their revolutionary-sounding Kickstarter description, let me tell you what it says, said, let's open this sucker up. Time we brought back innovation, experimentation, and creativity to the big screen. Let's make games less expensive to make and less expensive to buy. With all our technological advancements, shouldn't cost be going down? Gaming could be cheaper. Since we're handing the reins over to the developer with only one condition, at least some gameplay has to be free. We borrowed the free-to-play model from games like League of Legends, Team Fortress 2, Triple Town, and many others. Developers can offer a free demo with a full game upgrade, in-game items or powers, or ask you to subscribe. Remember, we said that earlier in the week. I said, I would like the choice.
Yeah.
Hot. Okay, so Ouya, of course, they're saying can be called the descendant of the Dreamcast. Of course, Dreamcast didn't do that well. but Ouya, of course, supposedly have taken advantage of the perfect storm of excellent design, a stable, free Android operating system, a shift of developers from console to mobile and tablet development, and the winning business model of freemium and free-to-play gaming. The immediate loser in this battle, they're saying, will be Nintendo, because they failed to create a meaningful online business, which we've said here, that's going to be the thing that's going to make the Wii U not do so well. They're really... are not going into the social space at all. Sony and Microsoft will undoubtedly need to revise their strategies to meet an agile new platform competitor that will be fueled by a flood of content. The velocity of the app market, with 650,000 apps available, should show the supply of games that will quickly populate the new console. This is the most delicious thing I have heard in, like, ever. This is like ice cream and orgasms and everything all rolled into one.
Wow.
What can I say?
Orgasms rolled all into one. Yes.
I love this.
Wow.
I'm not excited we get a brand new console. Have you seen the prototype?
I have seen. It's awesome. It's very awesome. It's really cool looking. Kind of cool. It does look like a Dreamcast, actually.
It looks like a Dreamcast and a GameCube had a baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's really kind of cool looking. I don't think about this, though.
I am. You don't know what you think about? What would you think would go wrong?
And one, it's a brand new console in the market. Whether or not it can compete with the others, I don't know. But you're supposed to be able to play your Android games on it?
Yeah. It's Android-based, so that means pretty much any, I'm assuming, any Android app.
So what Android apps would you want to play on it?
Me? Oh, gosh. There's a couple cooking games that I love. Y'all know I have fishing and cooking I love.
All right.
I don't know why.
Fishing games, I'm with you.
I'm serious. If you could put them on
I'm trying to think, what games on Android would I actually want to play there?
Well, there's that one.
There's a couple of MMOs.
Yeah. Oh, what was the one we were talking about a few months ago? Is it League of Legends?
No, it's not League of Legends. It's
what's the one you were playing where it's...
Ah, crap. I don't still have it on my phone.
Yeah, I can't think of them anyway. Well, I think... And, of course, well, you also got Angry Birds. Some people who've never touched it because it's not on a console.
That's true.
Would probably play. This is good for Rovio. Rovio is going to be saying big on board. Oh, gosh. You know what we would probably do good to do is pop over to the Android store on Google Plus, which I'm doing right now. And this will just to run off a few games that are there. Remember, Google Plus is powered by Android. You got your Resort World, you got your Thirst of Night, which I hear is a really good vampire game. It's supposed to be really good, but I can't run it on my phone. You have all these ones that kind of have made their way from Facebook, you know, City of Wonder, Gardens of Time. There's Candy Dash. You got your Collapse, your Resort. Did I mention Resort World?
I don't know if you mentioned it or not.
You got Sudoku, which you can play on your Xbox now, but again, new console, you don't have to move around to five or six consoles. And I'm pretty sure some of these developers are gonna make their way over to this. It's I can't imagine they wouldn't. This is an idea.
I'm gonna hold judgment till I hear
specs.
Yeah, till I see something.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think what games. I mean, all right, sure, there are a couple of little ones that might be fun, the fishing games, okay, but. That's the reason why these things are apps, you know? You're bringing them onto a console.
Oh, God. It looks like they've also, they're doing something with Twitch. You can watch Twitch TV on your Ouya. You can't do that on your consoles yet.
Right, and that would be cool.
And Twitch TV is the up and coming. By the way, hello to our friends over at Twitch TV. Fantastic bunch of guys. Hilarious, by the way. I didn't realize they were that hilarious, the guys who run Twitch TV.
They are very hilarious.
Had me dying laughing. We were sitting backstage when they were doing the tournament with Miss Explosion Man. If you haven't played that game, there's one that'll most likely make it. Remember, Android's a completely open console. I could see Miss Explosion Man being on the App Store.
Explosion was interesting. I played it and I was kind of like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, that's the one I got a picture of you playing. Remember, you were talking to the guy?
Yeah, I kept repeatedly dying. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I jumping? What am I jumping on?
Yeah, and Miss Explosion is such a diva. You didn't get to watch her. Of course, you were playing. She does the Beyonce Single Ladies dance when you're blowing up stuff. I love it.
Oh, yeah? Interesting.
She's hilarious. Okay, you know what you got? We'll talk about this more later. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard tonight. If you want to join in the conversation, you're welcome to sit in our chat room, call in. Not now, but later, 9 p.m. tonight, again, Central Standard Time. What you got, Ginger?
I've got a free game is what I've got. I don't know if we talked about this the other day, but we're going to talk about it today.
I won't sit.
Wasteland 2. Wasteland 2 to include original game for free.
I believe they're one of the ones they're saying is going to make it over to our possible new console.
Awesome, awesome. NXL Entertainment announced that Wasteland 2 will include the original 1987 CRPG Wasteland for free. The original RPG is considered the godfather of post-apocalyptic games and a sort of spiritual successor to another game series made by Interplay, Fallout. Anybody heard about that one before? Anyways, this free offering would not have been possible without the kindness of EA towards NXL Entertainment because EA owns the rights to the title.
The devil.
They are. The number one request we had during our Kickstarter campaign was to have the ability to play the first game, says Brian Fargo. Fortunately, EA has continued to support us on this project and has granted us the ability to bring the original to the players. It is great to be able to make Wasteland available for those feeling nostalgic or who want to experience it for the first time. It certainly will not be a prerequisite to understand Wasteland 2, but it adds some extra flavor if you did not play the prequel. Putting aside EA's charitable move to help NXL, Wasteland 2 would not have been possible if not for the funding provided by fans about the prospect of a Wasteland sequel. When the Kickstarter for Wasteland 2 was finished, NXL managed to raise $2,933,252 from 61,290 fans, well over the initial $900,000 it had asked for at the beginning. So awesome. Awesome. You got that much money? Please, this thing better be good. It better be pristine, beautiful, gorgeous. See, that's the other thing I worry about with these Kickstarter funds. You're getting money to make these games. If your game that you use these Kickstarter funds does not meet our standards, you've just screwed everybody else on Kickstarter because there's going to be a lot less people that want to donate their money again to see something happen.
True. You know what I wish Kickstarter would do? I remember we were at RTX. I was talking to one of the guys who said he donated to the Guns of Icarus Kickstarter, and they gave him a T-shirt. I really wish that they would give you the ability to get some kind of residual or something back. I know people are like, I don't really want them to do that, but I really wish if the game does well, you at least get a dollar or something. I don't know, 35 cents for every something. Because while I love the idea on one hand, I'm like, I want something more than a T-shirt.
Blog talk.
bad ginger. All right, so speaking more of EA and their shenanigans, they are doing something I like, working with BioWare. They've announced Ultima Forever, Quest for the Avatar. Oh, man, I was in love with me some Ultima back in the day, typing the command at the DOS prompt to get my game to run hot. They're supposed to be expanding the legendary Ultima franchise. Again, Ultima Forever, Quest for the Avatar is supposed to combine accessible action RPG gameplay with the trademark BioWare storytelling, immersing both longtime fans and new gamers into the deep and engaging world of Britannia. Ultima Forever, Quest for the Avatar will be available on both the iPad and PC, interesting, later this year, with fully integrated cross-platform play. That's kind of hot, EA. You can experience all of the rich and deep RPG elements with friends whenever and wherever they choose to play. So if you've only got an iPad you want to play, you can get in and play with your PC friends, which I like. There we go, Ginger. There's a game we can all play together. All of us. There we go.
Yay!
Of course, to sign up for a chance to participate in a future closed beta and to see the game's first gameplay trailer, you can go over to the new website that they've created, UltimaForever.com. You people that are out at Comic-Con or will be attending Comic-Con 2012 in San Diego this week can stop by the EA booth. It'll be number 5405, and you can learn more about Ultima Forever, Quest for the Avatar, while also getting a chance to play some of EA's latest free-to-play games, Battlefield Heroes, Command & Conquer, Tiberium Alliances, Need for Speed World, and Warhammer Online, Wrath of Heroes. Ah... Of course, over at EA, this is probably they said this before they saw this new console, so there's a fundamental shift underway in how gamers play and pay for games.
Really?
He's the general manager of EA's BioWare label and co-founder of BioWare. Says with Ultima Forever, Quest for the Avatar, we're excited to give gamers the opportunity to play a high-quality game with their friends anytime, anywhere, on both iPad and PC. He says as huge fans of the Ultima franchise, the team of BioWare Mythic, God, what a bad merging, is not only excited to be able to bring this reimagining.
BioWare and Mythic.
Yeah. And the reimagining of the original. Yeah, they made your Dark Ages of Camelot.
They did.
Yeah. It's a reimagining of the original rich world to the fans of classic RPGs, but also to introduce a new generation of gamers who have never had a chance to discover why this is one of the industry's most beloved worlds. That's from Eugene Evans, who's the studio GM at BioWare Mythic. Of course, it's supposed to be spanning three decades. The fantasy world of Ultima has entertained millions of players from around the world with dozens of award-winning titles. The passionate and loyal fans of Ultima have braved perilous dungeons, faced off against fearsome enemies and creatures, conquered expansive lands and seas, and saved worlds. It's time to revisit this enchanting universe and step into the shoes of your very own Avatar. You know what? I just realized something. Here's the irony of all irony. Didn't BioWare did Dragon Age, right?
I think so. So, yeah.
Okay, not to give it away for those of you who haven't played it, but the opening scene of Dragon Age involves a beheading, and everybody was making this big deal about, oh my God, somebody got beheaded, this is the first time ever in a video game. No, it's not. Actually, the first time I saw someone beheaded was in Ultima, and ironic that they're now working on it.
Exactly.
Interesting. Anyway, you can follow them on Twitter, Ultima Forever, and Facebook, Ultima Forever. Or if you just pop over to our page, Gamer Girls Radio, and I'm usually liking these during the show. If you can't find it or you're lazy, just look and see what we like. Pop over to our page. Usually we like all the cool stuff.
Yes. We like a ton of cool stuff all the darn time. See, and I can actually watch my language during the day.
My ginger's been good today.
I'm trying. I think it's because I'm a little sleepy that, and I'm having an issue trying to get this darn HTML to work right. Stop deleting what I don't want you to delete. Anyway, so we've got all sorts of news today. What news do we got? I got news. Apparently, I don't have news. Where to go?
Do you need me to?
No. I got it. All right, so, not that I'm surprised here, because you League of Legends people are nuts. League of Legends more popular than World of Warcraft with Xfire users.
Mm-hmm, it is. I heard that yesterday from somebody out in the real world.
Wow. It's real world.
Yeah, what's that? I know, right?
No. There's that whole thing in the sky, and it makes it hot, and it burns you, and it's not good for your skin.
It was raining, so I was out. It's okay.
Oh, okay. According to data gathered by research firm DSC Intelligence, League of Legends was more popular in Europe and North America than any other PC game, including World of Warcraft. This data comes from social gaming and matching platform Xfire. the popular online fantasy-themed action strategy game beat out World of Warcraft by nearly 1.3 billion hours of gameplay time logged by Xfire users. World of Warcraft enjoyed more than 600 million hours of gameplay. The data from Xfire also shows that Diablo 3 saw 172 million hours of gameplay in just 45 days of usage. Alright, so there's a whole list. From July 2011 to June of 2012. Are you ready for this, people? There's some really, really, really long numbers. League of Legends! You freaks! Seriously! Alright, I knew that. I said the sun was bad, but get out in the sun more. 1,292,502,456 hours. I said 1 billion, people. Alright, so, that's nuts. World of Warcraft. Not really that surprising to me because, you know, they dumbed it down for newbies to run through a dungeon in 15 minutes. It's 622,000,000 hours, 378,909 hours. So, yeah. Minecraft. 371,635,651. Heroes of New Earth, 184,520,156. Then it goes on through Diablo 3, Battlefield 3, MapleStory, StarCraft 2, World of Tanks, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Yeah, alright, League of Legends people, step away from the computer.
No.
It's okay, do not run down the middle.
No.
Go out in the sun, okay? Don't go this channel or that channel, go out in the sun.
I'm not going out in the sun, and you can't make me.
They need it.
No.
They need the sun. It's
no.
Not healthy.
No.
Yes.
How can I play Go Fishing if I'm out in the sun?
Mm-hmm.
See? I rest my case. All right. You heard all this week and last week. We told you some interesting things were going on at Amazon.com. And the plot thickens. That's why, apparently, Amazon has snatched up a Windows exec. That's right. Yes. They snatch up one Mr. Robert Williams, who's an 11-year veteran of Microsoft. He led the team responsible for the first version of Windows Ultimate Edition, but Amazon's real interest in him, they're believing, lies in his experience with the Windows Phone, which he ran as a director of the business development for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Amazon is bringing Williams on board 5 months after it hired former Windows Phone developer experience director Brandon Watson to become head of the Kindle's cross-platform team. And while the two clearly don't make a trend, it sure does get you a-thinking, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it? Uh-huh. For Amazon, of course, this move comes amid some rumors that they're possibly testing a smartphone in Asia. Remember when we were talking about that? For Microsoft, the departure means the loss of a key exec ahead of a significant time for the Windows ecosystem. With both Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 dropping this fall, Microsoft is going to need all the experienced help it can get, so there's a very good chance William will be sorely missed. Ooh, it's going to get juicy. I see a fight coming between Amazon and Microsoft, and those are two juggernauts. Oh, yes.
That is going to definitely be interesting. I'd like to see who's going to win. I guess we're going to tell.
Time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some games I've never heard of before. 10 days left for Exodus Wars. Exodus Wars. Exodus Wars. Why do I always say Exodus? Exodus Wars, Fractured Empire. Yeah, it caught in my head. I was like, wait a minute, that's not right. Membrane Studios, Exodus Wars. Exodus Wars, Fractured Empire has entered the last mile and is now down to the final 10 days of its crowdfunding campaign. Producer Mark Shepard said this is where the action is. If you've decided to support us, but you've been holding fire until the last stretch, now is the time to show your support for Exodus Wars, Fractured Empire by buying a perk.
Did they say perk? Did I hear purse or perk?
Perk. He cheekily adds, I can recommend the $25 beta perk, which entitles you to early access to the game without any kind of pressure to actually help us with testing. You can pretty much just enjoy the game and play other beta participants. If you've been hemming and hawing about backing the campaign but leaning towards buying a perk, Mark recommends the $10 perk that gets you the game at a low price. You probably spilled more than $10 worth of coffee last week. Spill some of that cash our way, will ya? If you have friends who are undecided on whether to back this campaign or who are just as yet unaware of it, Mark says now is the time to apply massive amounts of peer pressure to guilt them into contributing to the campaign so that we all get to play EWFE much, much sooner.
What if we don't want to play?
Well, then don't play. Yeah, anyways, yeah, if you want to fund this, you can head over to Indiegogo.com. Check it out.
Okay, so we were telling you about this game, and we actually got this in yesterday. And, you know, yesterday we weren't here, so I was saving this juicy tidbit because I wanted to play. I saw this while I was out, and of course...
That's a juicy tidbit?
Well, it's not too juicy, but it's a little juicy. If only... Frankie, will you please open up the mail for me? Frankie's like, no, I'm done for the day. I think I'm going on vacation.
I don't wanna.
All right, it's a Race for the White House simulation game. It launched yesterday for PC and Mac. Players, of course, can become a 2012 presidential candidate yourself or play as one of the real-world candidates. You stay plugged in with continuous opinion polls and vote projection updates during the campaign. Millions of voters are deciding which candidate they'll vote for on November 6th, and that decision process became a lot more exciting with the simulation game, The Race for the White House. Again, was released just yesterday on PC and Mac. You can also play it on your iPhone. I'm sorry. Oh, no, it's not out yet, but you will get to play it on your iPad, iPhone, and Android. You can get a new vision and understanding of the high stakes involved in the 2012 presidential election and how you might be able to control your own political destiny. You might end up living in the next White House, in the White House next year. There's, of course, a couple of trailers over at their website, theracefortthewhitehouse.com. I was not impressed with what we saw the last time for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little bit antiquated. But I'm interested enough to keep watching to see what they're going to do.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know.
The 3D modeling for Romney and Obama is, yeah.
Was it bad?
Yeah. Oh, the only thing they got right about Obama is his ears. And Romney looks like, you know, the Sims circa generation.
Well, I would judge them if they didn't get his ears right.
Well, you can't miss those ears. Our president has some ears on him. But I don't know about nom, 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 nom. I just want to pull them. Don't stop it. Put those away. Yeah. So, I don't know. If you're interested in simulators, you might go check this out. And I may try it out because I like simulators. I might be able to look past, you know, some graphical interface because it is very antiquated, the graphical interface. But the gameplay sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm very, very interested to see what they've done, if it's going to keep me engaged. But you should go check it out if you've got a Mac or PC, or wait till it comes out on iPhone, Android, iPad, whichever one you like. Holla, what you got, Ginger?
Did we already talk about Valve and EA throwing a fit over Steam game discounting?
They've had a lot of that lately, so tell us again.
All right, so I'm over on GamePolitics.com this morning. They have a story up called Valve Rejects EA's Theory on Steam Game Discounting.
Oh,
yeah. Valve Software's business development chief Jason Holtman finally offered a response to what EA Origin boss David DeMartini said last month about Steam sales cheapening intellectual property. At the time, DeMartini said that EA's digital distribution platform would not copy Steam's frequent and deep discounting sales tactics. Speaking to Holtman at Develop in Brighton, England this week, Eurogamer asked him what he thought about those comments. Holtman said that the opposite was true. Steam sales bring value and generate income for intellectual property owners. Ask our partners, he says. Ask the large to the small and see what they think about that. Putting it all in the bucket of it's all about the discounts, I don't think that's everything about it. Discounts serve a lot of functions. Highlighting serves a lot of functions. The qualities of the games serve a lot of functions. Everything we've seen, PC games and IP, and all those franchises are more valuable today than they were 4 or 5 years ago. He went on to say that discounting is just one of the small functions it does in the course of operating their market and store and doesn't cheapen IP. Holtman added that they do this with their games, with their own games, like Portal 2, and if he thought it would damage the Portal name, he would not offer a steep discount. Holtman added that Steam's promotions on older titles often convince gamers who may have passed on a game when it was released to give the game a chance. The nice thing is buying a year later at some discount or special promotion, those things used to be really hard to find. It used to be if you didn't get a game in the first 3 months it was around, you were out of luck because you had to find a copy of it. You had to find a box where it was stocked. Holtman has a lot more to say about the subject, which you can read over at Eurogamer if you want. They say ultimately Holtman's conclusion is that DeMartini is wrong about what deep discounting does to games available via Steam. You know, they're going to fight over it forever. Come on, it's EA. Are we surprised that they're mudslinging?
Because no.
No. I don't know.
Of course, EA is going to say something. They really want to promote Origin. They want theirs to be the only one. But you're late to the game. You're late to the table. And Origin, I'm sorry to tell you, EA sucks. Actually, I'm not sorry to tell you. But the point is, it sucks for now. At least the last look I got at it, and I haven't been in since. So you're going to have to do leaps and bounds better to even go toe to toe with Steam. You shouldn't even be saying anything until you get there. Just shut up. Shut up. Shut up, EA.
Shut up, EA. Shut up, EA. You already ruined my Dark Age Camelot.
Oh man.
Mythic, I'm just as mad as you because you sold it. Don't think you're getting out of this.
Okay, so, Ginger, have you ever used any of these mobile apps that allow you to pay for things before you get there?
No.
You haven't?
No, take it back. Are we talking about, like, what's the one for tickets, buying tickets to, like, the movies?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Had to show, like, a code to the people at the window.
Mine is ID. Want your ID. Okay, so that's one way, but they're not the first people to do that. The first people to actually do mobile payments is Starbucks. Did you know you can pay for your Starbucks before you even get there?
No, but I don't go to Starbucks.
Ginger, so two places I got to take you to, Moonshine and Starbucks.
I don't drink coffee.
You're going to drink coffee. You hanging out
no.
with people, you drink coffee.
No.
What?
No,
just
no.
One cup.
No.
One cup.
No.
You know what? You sound like Baby Natrix. And I'll tell you what I tell her. Say yuck after you've tried it, okay?
I've tried coffee. I don't like coffee.
You've not had Starbucks coffee. It is different.
I don't like coffee. Girl, I was in high school during that whole coffee thing when it all started becoming popular and everybody wanted the flavored coffees and the coffees and...
The iced coffee is a sacrilege. You people that drink coffee with ice in it, I am not speaking to you. That is disgusting. I've had it. It's not. That's
not. The whole thing is disgusting.
It is not. You just haven't had a good coffee. Anyway, Ginger's drinking coffee with me. Y'all hear
no,
me?
No.
I won't get you a whole one. You're going to drink some of mine.
No.
Anyway, and you're going to Moonshine. End of discussion, Ginger May.
Don't you love how she thinks she can boss me?
I'll boss everybody. By the way, Ginger, 4 foot. What did you say? You're 5 foot.
I'm 5 foot 2.
She is not 5 foot 2.
I am 5 foot 2.
She lies. If I'm looking you in the face, you are not 5 foot 2.
Heels.
I'm 5 foot. I didn't have on heels.
You were in those sandals that you had a big old heel on them.
When I took them off, I was still looking you in the face.
You were not.
I was looking you.
I am 5 foot 2.
You are not in your dreams, Ginger. Shorty.
I am a shorty. You shorty.
Now, back to Starbucks, of course. Starbucks, of course, is calling themselves the unlikely leader in the mobile payment space, is hoping to make popular its app, in-app called 2D barcode payment system. It's very firmly entrenched here in the U.S., so if you've not noticed it, you're not paying attention. Next time you go to Starbucks, you look on their little order sign, and they tell you you can go download the app from the store. They have today released a new version of what they're calling Starbucks for Droid. It's Android, actually. So it's to bring mobile pay and functionality to their customers in the U.K. and Canada. So you Canadians, you Canucks, and you Brits, you now get yourself some Starbucks app. The Starbucks Android app has also been completely reworked with a new barcode base, a fresh design, and additional features that make it almost as functional as the company's flagship application for the iPhone, setting the stage for the future around having a robust application for Android and iOS excites us. For what's to come, that's from Starbucks Chief Digital Officer Adam Rotman. This is what he told to our people over at the DB. He says, you can expect a more rapid pace of releases and innovation on all mobile platforms from now on. With the refresh, the Android application, as Rotman insinuated, finally offers Android users an experience that is most likely on par with what the company offers its customers for the iPhone. Part of the reason for the lag in delivering the same features to us Droid users, said Rotman, was that Starbucks needed to push out the new architecture and design, a complicated undertaking. We don't like complicated when we're trying to get our coffee, people. New to the Android app are enhanced loyalty and payment features already available on the iPhone. Specifically, Starbucks for Android now allows for card reload through PayPal, includes a rewards history dashboard, and comes with a PIN code option for protecting your digital Starbucks card. The app also carries with it an Android-only home screen widget and Also comes with card balance and a star count. Every 15 stars equates to a free drink.
And it, mm-hmm,
and they have more than coffee drinks. They also have tea.
Yay! I like tea.
Even more significant, however, is that Starbucks, a company with a trend-to-size tech ambition, has created for itself by making, you know, one day you all are going to write this.
As long as they don't put milk in their tea.
You can put whatever you want in it. They're, again, making it available to the people in the UK and Canada is another new channel to extend its lead in the mobile wallet market. Wednesday's release signaled Starbucks' ongoing desire to make its mobile payments program available globally. The company would not have revealed specific launch plans, but said this is that it's actively exploring expansion opportunities in roughly a dozen countries. In total, Starbucks has processed more than 55 million mobile payments in the U.S. since January 2011 when it debuted. The company is now processing well over 1 million mobile payments a week stateside, he said. Wow. Now, just how well does the 2D barcode system is faring will fare in the UK and where it's been available in Starbucks for the iPhone users since January of this year is still unknown. Starbucks will release a combined U.S., U.K., and Canada mobile payment figure at a later date. I'm excited because I'm wanting to go to Canada at some point in the near future, and it would be nice if I could pay for my Starbucks when I get there without having to figure out what the exchange rate is.
That is true.
And the U.K., too, which I'm not allowed to visit, but I'm going to sneak over there, and I'm going to need to...
yes, we need to sneak over there.
I have seen this every time I go through the Starbucks line that, you know, that they have the mobile payment system. And as we keep telling all you lovely ladies out there, if it's something that you love, buy some stock in it. I own stock in Starbucks, so I frequent there quite often. Keep my stock up high. So get you some. It doesn't cost much. Go to sharebills.com. Hey, look, I'm earning money from these people. A little cash in my pocket. I need to make sure I keep it coming. So I'm happy
that's true.
Oh, by the way, this is why we were hungry, by the way. We couldn't find a Starbucks on the way to RTX.
I thought you had a Starbucks in your hand when you showed up.
There is. No. No, I did not. I don't know what I had in my hand, but it was not a Starbucks. I don't know what I had in my hand. I remember very little of that day other than I know that's the reason why we didn't eat. We wanted one of the vegetarian cheese mm-hmm. sandwiches that they sell at Starbucks. And if you haven't had those, that's the best.
Vegetarian cheese.
It's a vegetarian. It's egg and it has turkey bacon. Well, turkey bacon is not really.
How is egg vegetarian?
I forgot what they do in it, but they call it a veggie or vegetarian thing. I don't know what the deal is. I don't really care. I just know it tastes good. That's what I need to know. It tastes good and it doesn't have anything in it that's going to make me sick. And it is the best thing I have ever eaten in my life for breakfast.
Eggs are aborted chickens.
Well, I think they're egg whites or something. I don't know. In any case, it's good. You have to try it.
They are good. Nom, nom.
Have you had that with the ciabatta bread thing?
No. I just talking about eggs are good.
What are we going to do with our ginger?
I like eggs. I'm a Southern girl. I like eggs.
I'm still mad about that whole chicken thing that went down at the P.F. Chang's. I'm mad.
I like that chicken. It was good.
Yes, you had the one that I wanted. Did I not say crunchy to that boy? Did I say crunchy?
It wasn't crunchy. What I had was sweet sour chicken.
Yes, but it had a little crunch to it. Did it not? A little crunch? Just a little bit.
Not really, but okay.
Mine was not crunchy at all. I'm mad.
It was really not crunchy, but it was sweet and it was good.
All right, we're all...
I know, that chocolate thing at the end was good, but holy crap, that was so sweet.
All of it was sweet.
Yeah, I didn't even finish that. I gave that to Danger. Danger was all like, I'm going to take your dessert and your dessert and your dessert.
I was eating some of everybody's too, but I was being inconspicuous. I never put it on my plate. I just kind of lean over while you're talking and cut it with a fork, which is what I did to you. You didn't even notice like three times I took a bite of your dessert.
Oh, you can go right on ahead. I don't care. I'll share food.
You didn't know you were sharing. See, I'm good. I keep the eye contact as I reach over and then I take a little bit of your food and then I lean back.
And then it sounds like go right on ahead. All right. So Frogger, gets hyper. Konami Digital Entertainment, GmbH, has announced that the latest installment in the veteran Frogger series, Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition, is available now for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Nintendo WiiWare. Delighting gamers since 1981, Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition, by the way, 1981, best year ever. They make the best babies in 1981, just saying. Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition sees the famed amphibian return for its 30th anniversary celebrations in a game that celebrates the past and looks to the future. offering classic and brand new game modes like Tile Capture, Battle Royale, Freak Out, and a four-player option. Players can also adapt their game experience through a variety of unlockable skins from Konami classics such as Castlevania, Contra, and other, and the 8-bit graphics from the original Frogger Coin-Op. Developed by Zombie Studios, Frogger Hyper Arcade Edition is available now for download on the Xbox Live Marketplace for 800 Microsoft points, PlayStation Network for €9.99, and Nintendo WiiWare for 1,000 Wii points. The game is also available for smartphone devices.
Ooh!
Yay!
Ooh! That's nice.
We're making all kinds of weird noises. People are going to be like, what the hell am I listening to? You guys know y'all love us.
They better love us.
Yes.
Because we know where you live.
Some of us, yeah. Some of y'all, we do.
You've been in your pocket. We know where you live.
Mm-hmm. We just didn't know it.
Well.
What happened was.
There is some complaining going on from our boys over at Penny Arcade.
Complaining?
Uh-huh.
Why are they complaining?
Well, hold up. I gotta get all this together. And we'll probably talk about this tonight because it's like a full interview. Penny Arcade has launched their own Kickstarter.
For?
To wipe out advertisements on their own site. Yeah. Okay. So, the community is not happy with them. It's drawn mixed reactions from fans and media personalities alike, who wonder just how effective such an employee can be. Okay. So, the way that they've done is, I'm trying to figure out how to put this in the words. The scheme is supposed to be quite simple. Kickstarter is asking for a mere $250K to wipe out ads on the front page. From there, multiple tiers of funding levels exist, which will start to eliminate more and more advertisements. Should they hit their goal of $1 million, all the ads will be completely pushed out of the site for one full year. Penny Arcade explains why they chose to go after Kickstarter, and they said, we're committed to a pretty shocking reconfiguration of our company, and we're going to need all hands on deck to do so. Their pledge system streamlines this process considerably. It is also incredibly transparent with a bright green bar that goes up in real time so you can see what's happening. Of course, the goal seems lofty. Kraholic Hawkins said the rest of the Penny Arcade team have been active on Twitter answering questions and making statements about their decisions. So, okay, so right now they're at about 88,000 as of the 10th with over 1,250 backers. They said if they don't get funded, of course, they'll leave things how they are. They've been asked if they think it's a successful venture or a viable way for gaming media to get funded products, just like with game developer projects. And this we will save for later because this is going to be interesting for us to discuss. I am not sure, personally, if I can back them with this.
I don't know. I mean, on one hand, I hate advertisements, and I know if there are a lot of them. I'll leave a website in a heartbeat because I'm like, oh god, I don't want to see this. But on the other hand, they're Penny Arcade.
That's what I'm looking at. It's who they are and the time period that they've been around. And it's not like they're doing some sort of expansion. It's just getting rid of the advertisements.
And their advertisements usually have to do with gaming and gaming things, right?
Well, I'm looking at their website. Their ads are not all that intrusive. It's not like when you go to, say, GameSpot, where the whole page is taken over, the big advertising pops up. So I'm not finding them all that intrusive that they need to go. I'm looking at their front page now. They've got their little comic feed up and their, you know, how to email Gabe and Tycho and everything. I'm not finding their advertisements to be that bad. Who's complaining to the point where they felt like they needed to do a Kickstarter would be my question. So
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I mean, seriously, because of who they are, because they are Penny Arcade, a lot of their advertisements should be gaming or gaming accessories or something to do with gaming, I would assume. They're kind of a step up for some of these people to get their name out there. And, I mean, it's your business, all this other fun stuff, yada, 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 but...
Yeah, that's the other thing. A lot of people depend on them because where else would they go? I mean, they can come to us, and we know GameSpot and the rest of them are so expensive. Not happening for you.
And really, $250,000? Is that how much your advertising is worth for a year?
That's actually not a lot. I don't know what they're trying to do or what was the motivation behind this at all. I could see if they were saying we're expanding, we're taking on 5 more comics and we're getting ready for Penny Arcade South, which guys you better bring down to Houston.
And see, that's the other deal. I mean, you've got seriously, bring it to Houston or Austin, I don't care which one.
Yes, you just hit it on. Man, we got a lot to talk about later on tonight. Make sure you're here at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be talking about this because...
I feel like they'd be shooting themselves in the foot.
I do, too.
I do.
I agree with you.
That happen because I love you. I love you, Penny Arcade. You know, hey, don't do that. Don't hurt
I love
yourself.
Them. Everybody loves them. That's why they've gotten as popular as they have. But, yeah, I'm going to need y'all to... We'll talk about this a little bit later.
Yeah. All right, so Canada, you maple syrup candy-loving hippies. They have told the music industry, suck it. All right, so Supreme Court of Canada rules against music industry tariffs. The highest court in Canada has delivered some depressing news for music and other rights holders today. They can't charge additional fees to educators, video game makers, and internet service providers. In a ruling on multiple cases today, the Supreme Court of Canada struck down 5 cases that had to do with tariffs. In one case that had to do with educators copying materials to teach students, the court ruled that the Copyright Board could not charge teachers who photocopied materials for their students because the use of such material in teaching students is protected under the Copyright Act. That case was sent back to the Copyright Board for review. No doubt educators in the country will now get some relief from copyright fees thanks to this ruling. Hello, they're teachers. They're teaching your next generation, the people who are going to be making your music. How about we not tax these folks? That's just smart thinking. Anyways, the court also ruled that the internet service providers would not pay additional copyright fees when music is downloaded, but that court did say that artists should be compensated when music is streamed online. In another case, the court ruled that that movie theaters, broadcasters, and cable companies should not be charged any additional fee for the music that is part of a film or a TV program that they are showing. And yet another involving music licensing and video games being sold online, the court ruled that there should be no additional royalty fees for music that is included in the games and already licensed. Finally, the court ruled that providers of various online services should not have to pay fees when the music downloaders listen to previews of songs. The court said that previews constituted research, which is a protected practice under the Copyright Act. Had the court ruled otherwise in these cases, it would have disrupted everything kind of entertainment commerce in Canada. So this is a good thing for consumers and entertainment creators, as well as those companies that provide either access or delivery of digital goods. What were you thinking? Seriously, music people, you are going to tax people for even looking at the previews of your songs to see whether or not I want to buy this? Are you kidding me? Can you be any more greedy?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not a fan of you. I'm not usually an advocate for piracy, but you keep this up, I'm totally going to go to the other side.
Y'all have made the ginger angry.
Seriously, though, you want to tax teachers for photocopying your stuff that they are teaching the future generation of doctors, lawyers, teachers, whoever, music creators, game makers, all this fun stuff. You want to tax them for that? No. And you want to charge people for looking at previews of your stuff? Nope.
Cut them, Ginger. Cut them and cut them deep.
Companies that have people that are looking at the previews? No. Seriously, it's like super greedy. What is wrong with these people?
Well, apparently the handheld market is still being dominated by the Japanese. Wow. Well, more importantly, being dominated by 3DS. The PlayStation Vita sales have halved as the new 3DS software stormed the Japanese software market. According to a report on Andrea Song, 3 new releases for Nintendo's handheld made the top 5, Etrian Odyssey 4, Little Battler Experience, Baku Boost, and Run for Money. I love their game titles over there. I just do. The only other notable new entry was Toruku Gourmet Survival on PSP, which charted in fourth place. However, despite the number of new releases, hardware sales were down across all formats, most notably the PlayStation Vita, which sold around half of its previous formats of the 22,638 units. Software chart for the week ending on July 8th. Give you a few of the titles and give you at least the top three and how much they've actually sold. Number three, Little Battler Experience Baku Boost, 55,614 sales. Etrian Odyssey 4, from Atlas, by the way, sold 97,142 copies. And Pokemon Black and White 2, get this, 2,217,227 copies.
Wow.
Work. Pokemon Black and White.
Kidding,
work.
Right?
Oh, my God. So, Vita. let's see how many Vitas were sold. Let's see. This week they sold 14,000 Vitas. I'm sorry, 11,000 Vitas. And then the week before they sold 22,000. So that's the half. They're actually, the PlayStation 3 is outselling the Vita at 14,000 copies this week, 16,000 last week. Nintendo dropped just a little bit. They sold 65,000 3DSs, and this week 51,000. They are kicking butt and taking names. And still, Wii is still outselling the Xbox. Still, 6,654 Wiis were sold this week, 711 Xboxes.
Wow.
I said 711 Xboxes.
Wait, 711.
711 to 6,654 Wiis.
Wow.
People, you gotta stop sleeping on the Nintendo. Although I know this,
we
may give them a run for their money if it, you know, if it's all we hope it'll be. But Nintendo, if they don't, Nintendo is like, we are not even worried about you, Xbox. We're not even worried. We're not concerned.
No kidding, no kidding. And they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. All right, so it's Thursday. It's coming up on the weekend. You're looking for a game to play this weekend. Maybe something you've not tried before. BioWare offers Star Wars The Old Republic free trial up to level 15.
While Ooh, Star Wars The Old already?
Yeah, already. Not good, not good. While Star Wars The Old Republic isn't free to play yet, BioWare and EA have made a move similar to what Blizzard did with its World of Warcraft trial version. BioWare announced today that the trial version of the game will let players try out the game free of charge up to level 15.
What
players will have access to all 8 character classes. WoW doesn't let you do that, by the way. As well as access to the player versus player and player versus environment gameplay. After hitting the level cap in the trial, players who sign up for a full subscription to the game will be able to continue with the characters they have played, complete with all the progress and items they have gained in the game. No doubt BioWare hopes that this change in the trial version of the game will attract new subscribers to keep those paying customer numbers up. I don't know. Honestly, they did too much like WoW. They pushed everybody through the low levels, didn't offer enough content, and then you got to the end and it's all grind. So, no.
I don't know what's going on with some of these MMOs, but they are not, I don't think even WoW is seeing what's happening. We keep reporting, you know, just about at least once a month that they're, you know, hemorrhaging users.
They
but
never listen to us. They should, but they yeah. never
Well, they're too busy letting our things get hacked. By the way, my RuneScape account got hacked. Do you know how many years it's been since I went into RuneScape?
I don't know, but I had a friend of mine the other day. Oh, I'm playing RuneScape. Oh, my God, don't talk to me anymore.
Ginger's a game snob.
I did, too. I was like,
I am, too.
I'm not talking to you no more. Get off my friends list.
But they need to pay attention. The APBs and the Fallen Earths and all those, the Secret Worlds, people are kicking your butts, WoW, because people are tired of the orcs and trolls. Yeah, we're getting tired of the orcs and trolls. And Skyrim aside, I got to tell you, I am not anxious to go. And you know what? It's not that I'm sick of the orcs and trolls. I'm sick of the experience of how they put the game together.
I played the PvP in the Secret World the other day.
Oh, how did that go?
That was so hot. Three factions. Three. So it's not just two teams. It's three.
Ooh.
So as soon as you thought you'd knocked out the one, here came the third to get you from the rear. It was hot. It was awesome, man.
All kind of
I was running around getting killed and killing, and I was like, oh, yeah, baby.
And I know you were yelling at the screen much like I do. Oh, you just go shoot me, huh?
I was, too. Seriously, because I've not gotten that high yet, I'm thinking about deleting that soon and restarting, because now that I know what I'm doing a bit more.
No.
What you do, Ginger, is you keep him. That's your flagship, or her, rather. You keep her. She's your flagship character. You just leave her there. And then you go create your new one, and you just boom, 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 level up. Then you turn around and give that other girl some stuff. And then when you really know what you're doing, she'll level fast.
And that's the main thing, is I made her as, like, a healer. And so I'm playing by myself a lot of the time. And, man, them killing the boss moms takes forever
when you're a healer.
Yeah. I don't die.
That's it.
Once I finally figured out how to heal myself aggressively, I don't die. But
oh, that's
man,
good.
It takes forever to kill them things.
You
a lot of kiting.
Pressing the button, angry. You're going to, wait, got to heal. You're going to die. 3 hours later, I'm going to heal again.
You pretty much, it's like, shield, heal, zap. Shield, heal, zap.
MMOs.
I'm going to dot you to death.
Oh, my God.
No joke. It is hardcore, people. You are not just going to be running around killing stuff randomly. No. These zombies will eat you alive.
It's like Fallen Earth.
Yes. And especially because you're doing the quest, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're not even for sure what the next step's going to do, and you finally get to, like, one step, and out pops a boss mob. And it gives you no warning, nothing.
Oh, it's like the ambush that you have in City of Heroes. You go over to returning your quest, and the mob comes out after you. Like, oh,
well, like the other day, I was following. It was like, follow the crows, because you know you're looking for clues, and the crows are a clue. And I'm following them, da 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 da. All right, here's one batch. Here's second batch. Here's third batch. Oh, boom! There's a boss. Crap! I died. Run back to where the boss was. No, because the way this one worked, I had to go back and find the original flock of these stupid birds and follow them again and kill all the zombies along the way again and then get to the boss.
All right, people. Wait a minute. We got about 4 minutes. Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
I think.
Turn off and read one. I got one. You want me to?
Go ahead. Do it.
St. Louis game store owner gets more jail time for sex crimes against children. Oh,
ew.
Yeah. A St. Louis, Missouri man who had already been sentenced to 290 years in prison for a litany of sexual crimes against children has been found guilty of even more crimes. Last year, 42-year-old Leland Beasley was convicted for multiple child pornography crimes in the U.S. District Court and was sentenced to a lengthy stay at a federal prison.
Hmm.
Now the St. Louis County Court has found him guilty of multiple counts of child molestation, statutory sodomy, attempted statutory sodomy, and possession of child porn. He will be sentenced for those crimes on August 24th. Beasley is also awaiting trial for similar crimes in the city of St. Louis. That case will take place on August 27th. Investigators claim Beasley used the Game Station Sector 19 video game store on LeMay Ferry Road in St. Louis that he operated as a place to prey on his young victims, ranging in age from 19 to 14 years old between 2006 and 2009. Some of his crimes took place at the store location where Beasley often hosted sleepover parties, according to investigators. All right, folks, it's not cool. And he's already gotten 290 years. He's never going to get out of prison. And what he did, can we just, you know, save some taxpayer money and just, you know, do away with them? Just saying. Just wondering, just, you know, curiosity here.
All right, I think we got time. I got to fit this one in because I missed it earlier. I forgot to mention and didn't get it loaded. I wanted to give some love to Miss Rihanna Pratchett, who has been revealed as the lead writer on the new Tomb Raider titled.
Yay!
That's right, work girl. Since she grew up playing Tomb Raider and she uncovered the world's secrets and unearthing its treasures, she says, I've lived and died as Lara Croft, but nothing comes close to the challenge of rewriting her. Seldom do we get the opportunity to reimagine and reinvent a legend, so getting my narrative hands on Miss Croft was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It is going back to the genesis of video game action heroines and exploring how to make such an iconic character meaningful and relatable for gamers today, most notably women. She also added on Twitter, thank God, after 2 years, I can now talk about what I've been working on. So we will be talking more about Miss Pratchett and see if we can snag her up to drop by. We are proud to call you one of our sisters, and I don't care what anybody says about that trailer. I'm playing Tomb Raider, and I haven't wanted to play it in years, and I thank you. I think that has a lot to do with you being involved. Finally, the men get it. Sometimes to speak to women, you have to get a woman to do it. Anyway, Ginger, you know what it's time to do? Ginger. Where is my ginger?
Oh, my God. Am I muted? Okay.
Yes.
Time to tell them boys and girls later, folks.
No, that is not what it's time to do. It's time to shake it like an earthquake.